This is Will's Band of the Week for November 15th, 2020. Hello, and welcome to another edition of Will's Band of the Week. This is Will, along with Anurag from the Kitchener Bureau.
Hello, everyone.
Do we have a name for your studio? I can't remember if we came up with one.
Nope.
I guess not.
Just call it the Windows Studio.
Okay.
A lot of windows in my room.
Jeremiah from the Santa Fe Bureau. I don't think we have a name for your studio either.
No, mine's usually kind of moving around. I'm actually at my house. My internet's too slow, so I have to kind of drop in. So I'm conveniently using someone's casita. So we'll call this the Rasmussen Studios today.
All right, you go where you need to go to be available to the listeners. Yeah,
exactly.
So, we have such exciting stuff today. We've occasionally done interviews and. This week, Jeremiah lined up two interviews. Crazy. Yeah. It's a first for the podcast to have two interviews on one show.
How did you pull that off, Jeremiah?
I don't know. No, I just kind of like randomly throw out like, hey, you want to do this? You know, a lot of them don't get back, but some do. So it's really great just that we're excited to promote good music and expose more people to this. And it's fun to chat. They always are just smart and have amazing things to shine their light on. So, yeah, just see what happens.
So, I don't know if we have anything else really other than the interviews. And so we've already recorded the interviews, so maybe we ought to just play the interviews, and that'll be the podcast this week. So, we talked to Helena Delande, and what a great, fun time that was, right?
It was.
Yeah, she's great, and the new album is amazing, and yeah, it was really insightful chat.
So, her new album is called Someone New. Everybody should check that out, and we got to talk to her, so we'll play the interview right now. Okay, we're here with Helena Delande.
Yes, hello.
Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
And Jeremiah set this one up. He's our new interview coordinator. If we had a formal position like that on a hack podcast like this, but we don't. So,
deuce me. A good, amazing new artist, and try not to be too much of a punisher, right? I don't know if that's we've heard that's a term for someone that annoys the band after the set's over and talks their ear off, right? I don't know if that's really a term that that people use or not, but I've heard that. But thank you so much for being on, and we also have Anurag on, and he's up in Kitchener, Ontario, and so yes. Yeah, we're just excited to have you on the podcast today. Thank you.
I'm very excited to be here. Thanks for having me.
So for myself, I can tell you that Jeremiah introduced me to your music when we were, back in the old days when there was live music, and we went to South by Southwest 2019 together. Jeremiah and I were there with some other people, and we were at that show where you played in the parking lot of a record store with the Chills.
Yes, 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 yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was great.
Yeah. I remember that set. It was, I think it was maybe the third that day, if I remember correctly. And
the grueling schedule.
Tense moment right before. I just had to roll onto stage and play that set, but it was lovely. It was very rewarding.
Nice. Yeah, it was so great to see you a couple times there. And then I think I saw one random little bar one where there was only about 10 people there as well. But at South By. Mm-hmm. And I think the first time I saw you, and that was amazing, I'm trying to remember. It was in, I think it was 2018, I guess, or 17. I'm trying to remember, in the summer in London, mm-hmm. In some basement. at a probably in Hackney or somewhere. But
oh, but, cool.
Yeah, it was like it was a really fun show. And then afterwards,
Ontario?
I was talking to right. No, London, UK,
London, England.
Yeah, there was like some Japanese electronic artists before that opened. That
Yes. That was a very fun show.
It was. Yeah, it was great. It was so intimate down in, and the sound was actually good even for a small space. It was really nice and.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so then just that just inspired me. I was like, oh my gosh, I think I heard about you on Gorilla versus Bear or something somewhere, and it's
that's
interesting.
Very likely.
Yeah, totally. No, Chris is a big fan, and your music it's one of the few artists that like I can like kind of turn people onto that they'll come back like a month later and be like, oh my God, that is so amazing.
Like, really? That's
you know,
so
yeah,
cute.
It's
thank
really,
you.
It's been, yeah, it's he's been not... kind of like a reoccurring theme, like random people, like even an acquaintance I was thinking last night, I was like, oh my God, yeah, he really liked it too. Like a random acquaintance that's like a rodeo star guy, like totally random.
Wow.
And then he was like, hey, do you know any good music? And I told him, and then he's like, comes back like a month later, he's like, that Elena Delon, she's amazing.
Like, oh my God, that's so
really
flattering.
Fun.
Thank
yeah,
you.
Yeah, it's good. It's really
that's
good.
To hear.
Yeah, I was going to say he's not wrong because it worked on me too. And,
oh my God, well, thank
yeah,
you.
Unfortunately, I wasn't there with so these much. Guys for the live performances. I was invited, but my wife said no.
And,
but yeah, but just listening to your album, it's just glorious. It's I really like it
thank
a lot.
Thank you so much.
Yep.
Thanks.
Yep.
Well, yeah, and hopefully there will be more live performances in the near future. We'll see. Maybe we, you know, cross.
So how about we start with what inspired the album? Like I'm looking at some articles and they're comparing you with Elliot Smith and Natalie Brass, and so what was your inspiration?
Wild, very flattering. Well, I was intent on kind of approaching the album making process in a very like conceptual kind of how can I put it? I just wanted to approach every song as part of a whole rather than piece songs together afterwards. And I was, I think, putting a lot of pressure on myself to do that. And there was a moment where I felt like I was very much kind of, becoming more and more conscious of this pressure that was maybe, well, certainly like a little too much, and then maybe even hindering my capacity to write songs at some point. And that actually, like realizing that, really inspired me to write about that specifically and wonder what it was that was kind of blocking me in creating. And the way I understood it was that I was like trying to run everything by this imagined other kind of, that was a vague other entity. And so the album kind of became this like journey towards not having to do that anymore.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah, there's definitely, it feels like there's a whole, like all the songs, the way the sequence, both the sequence and the songs, it just creates such an amazing whole. It feels like, you know, like it's real, it's its own, like each song is its a piece, you know, but it's really, there is something that's really contained with the whole LP, it feels like. Both in kind of the emotions, and also even though the music is different and there's even, you know, like cello on some of it and everything, but it really feels like it's, you know, it's its own little being kind of, it's really, it's very sweet. I think it's stunning. Mm. So really.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Thank you.
We like to play some tracks, and if you don't mind, we'll play some of the music and then continue the discussion.
Perfect.
The new album is called Someone New, and I know that Anurag and Jeremiah will have tracks to pick, but I think I'm going to take the first one, and I'm going to, we have this thing where we kind of frown upon picking track one because it's sort of too easy, but listening to this album, I love track one so much. I love the way it builds, and it's just great, so let's allow ourselves to listen to that one, the title track, Someone New.
Thank you. for the first time, I never get sick of patterns of my mind, but I am stuck. I am stuck. If things go my way, I'll stay in this room where tonight I want to lay, kissing someone new with a familiar face I can't replace.
Elena Deland, the title track from her new album, Someone New, and she's with us today.
Hello.
Yay.
Yeah, I love it. I love it.
Track, oh, my goodness.
Thank you. Yeah, you were saying that it's kind of frowned upon to choose the first one to play, but I got to admit, I think that song's my favorite, too, from the record.
It has a great slow build, and then the drums sound so great, and I found the whole album to be kind of this, and I thought about this when Jeremiah was saying his friends would get back to him a month later, because I had to listen to this a few times to sort of absorb it all, and it's not like I couldn't really put it on in the background in my office and really grasp it. I needed to listen more closely and carefully and give it a few listens, and it just got better every time.
Wow, well thanks so much.
Yeah, that track is so great. I mean, it's like, it's so like dreamy, and the floating guitar, oh my gosh, and the snare drum. And it's kind of like eating like your favorite comfort food, like under the covers.
Oh, I love that.
On a Sunday morning, you know, like, I don't know, peach cobbler or something, like, especially when the drums kick in, you know, it's like very nice.
That's cool. Thank you so much.
So you had Gabe Wax produced the album?
I sure did.
Oh, wow. And Jake as well, Jake Portrait, right?
Yeah, exactly. And my friend Valentin, who's here in Montreal with me, who did all the first drafts with me.
So how did that happen? These are powerhouses, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. I guess Jake I met through someone who works for a friendly announcer who managed UMO. And I sent Jake a couple demos that were just guitar and voice, and thought not so much about the demo that I had for what became Lil's at the time, but he loved it. And we kind of worked on it, and we met and instantly started working on it in his studio in Greenpoint. And then it was very fluid, and it kind of like came together in 3 sessions, not even. It was like really, really pleasant and easy and a fun time. And it was cool that he kind of hooked on to that song, because I myself was not, yeah, like as I said, I kind of underestimated it. I think it has like a different tone definitely than the other records, but than the other albums. Songs. I'm having a hard time with like what is what. The other songs on the record. But yeah, it was really fun. And Gabe was another kind of we tried working on a song together, and it really came together in a nice way.
And he also, I see him being credited on bass as well. So he was a band member too?
Gabe?
Yeah.
Yeah, he actually, well, what happened is that I like recorded with my band in Montreal and had this like kind of direction I was taking, and then went to New York with the songs and worked on them with Gabe, and he kind of had a different idea for some of the bass tracks and they turned out to be like more in line with the result. Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So we re-recorded a few bass lines.
I see.
Yeah. Wow. That's a great song. Love it. It's really sweet. Yeah. It seems like a lot of this, like, it seems like almost an overarching kind of theme is just this kind of exploring, I don't know how to say it, exploring kind of like, you know, patriarchal power dynamics or, you know, it's almost like kind of being maybe like feminist in a really subtle way or in a way of like, seems like you're kind of like observing things and then kind of somehow you can, even though it might be, at least in the song kind of happening to you, you can kind of put yourself almost in a third person or something and kind of look at it from, because even though it sounds very personal, but kind of like look at it in a distant way or in a disconnected way or somehow. Does that ring true at all, or I don't know?
Yeah, well, I think that's a really interesting point. I do feel like my songwriting is usually pretty close to my experience, but there definitely is there's an effort to make it open enough for it to be relevant to others, you know. Not that being personal makes that impossible, but I think that there's this maybe the distance that I'm trying to create in spite of the subject matter being very close to me makes that possible, you know, that kind of like third person I guess relativity or something.
Yeah, and it almost sounds like a lot of the sounds or the underlying pieces of the songs a lot of times are kind of muted and kind of mixed and that almost seems like almost metaphorically kind of how a lot of the emotions that you're expressing in the lyrics are in the songs
really
too. So it kind of felt like that was really fitting or apropos. I don't know if
that's
I'm just
cool.
kind of reading into it too much.
Yeah, you know, but I think it makes sense for sure because, you know, if that's kind of the intention of the lyrics and song content, it makes sense that it would have transpired into the choice of arrangements for sure, without it being necessarily kind of like a thing that I chose knowingly, you know?
Yeah, that
it
might
have just happened.
Out. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Wow, that's cool. Yeah, it's very nice.
So how long did it take you to record this whole thing? Like, it sounds like you visited New York as well.
Yeah, well, it was kind of like a back and forth. I was recording the first songs with Gabe and Jake in January of 2019 and finishing it in March of 2020. So like 14, 15 months later, I guess. With a little break between the two. But I think the whole thing took 2 years, but there were definitely moments where I was not working on it so full time, I guess, because of touring and stuff like that.
Well, let's play another track. Helena, do you have a track you'd like to feature?
Oh, good question. I guess Truth Nugget number 2.
That was my next pick too. That's just so great. Here we go. Truth Nugget.
We'll be right back.
Well, as a bass fan, I really appreciate the bass on that song.
Great. Yay!
That's no ordinary hack bass player bass. Like I listen to a lot of simple music, and I say, well, I could play that bass line, but that one I'm not sure.
Yeah, you could for sure. I actually wrote it, and I don't really play bass. It's just like the slide. I don't know. I love a slide on a bass, really.
Yeah,
it's quite simple. It's doubled though. It is harmonized, but you don't have to play those two parts at once.
If I went into a fancy studio, then maybe they could make me sound like that,
exactly.
Right? Well, we're painting a misleading picture, I think, by playing tracks one and two. It's like, oh, it's really good at the beginning, but it does hold up, and another thing that we love to talk about our ideal length of albums, and sometimes I will say, well, I really like albums that are like 33 minutes long. It's perfect for the attention span. This one's 48 almost, but it works. It's really consistent all the way through. So, awesome.
Thank you. Thanks. I mean, 48 minutes. Yeah, it was pretty limit. Like I really wanted it to. I just wanted all the songs to be on there, but at the same time, I was thinking about the record, the object, and I didn't want it to be a double LP. I found that a little bit, overwhelming as a first album.
Mm-hmm.
And we made it fit, so I'm glad. But yeah, it is a long album, so I'm glad. I'm very, very happy that you don't think it's too, too long.
Yeah, the song that really struck me was the one in which you went singing, The Walk Home.
So
what's the inspiration behind that song? That's a beautiful, beautiful number.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much. I think, well, the inspiration, like, thematically is just that feeling of, strange familiarity that some things have sometimes, and specifically like the way home. I was really literally thinking of walking home when you have something on your mind, or like when you have like something that makes the environment feel kind of different in a weird way,
Yeah.
Just because of where your headspace is at. And yeah, that's what I was thinking about.
Oh my God, I know exactly what you're talking about, because I was listening to this album while I was just running some errands in the car. And there's just this one song that comes on and just clicks, and the album kind of elevates even further in your list. And it's this song.
Well,
yeah, I just heard this. I was, oh my God, this just blew me out of the water.
Well, now.
I had to re-listen the whole thing in a different light. And yeah, so, yep.
Cool.
We need to put that into context now. We've got to play it, right?
Yes, we do.
The Walk Home.
Skipping to song number 7.
Right, here it is.
Thank you.
That's the one.
Yeah. Oh my God, that puts you in a space, doesn't it? Wow.
It does. Oof.
I know.
Thank
wow,
you.
It's like,
have you seen the movie Phantom Thread?
No.
It's a Paul Thomas Anderson movie that came out maybe in 2017. And there's just a like really wonderful, well, actually, Johnny Greenwood soundtrack, no less. Oh. But I listened to that so much while walking that year, and it kind of like, it made me associate just the, that action to that kind of sound that was the strings, you know, and I think that really inspired me too.
Wow, nice. Yeah, that's cool. Amazing. Those are cellos, is that what it is?
Kind of cello,
yeah. Kind of reminds me a little bit of like Arthur Russell or a little bit of his stuff, even though it's different style, but he's one of my favorites. But and just bringing the cello into something contemporary like this is really nice and puts you right
thank
there.
You.
I think that, did you
I
play?
I love the instrument.
Yeah, it's amazing. Just so like, it hits you, hits me deep somehow or for some reason. But you played that on that rooftop show that you did recently. Didn't you have some strings on that? I saw it was like last month or something, like a museum or maybe it was a few months ago. You played on a rooftop in Montreal somewhere.
Well, I played on the top of Rialto, but there were no strings, unfortunately.
Oh,
I would
okay.
love that. It was me and my friend Alex, who plays guitar too.
Nice.
Yeah,
okay.
That would have been
been
cool,
just
though, the strings.
Imagining that. Like the whole orchestra on the roof. That'd be fun.
Yeah.
Oh,
well, actually, No. I did play a show with a friend it was that same day. I don't know. But she does play the cello, though. Maybe it was like an association that was made at that. I don't know. But the rooftop show didn't have a cello per se.
All right. Yeah, well, we can't wait till there's some live shows again, that's for sure.
Yeah, same.
Definitely.
How's everything going in Montreal with the COVID situation?
Things are not as bad as they used to be. So, you know, knock on wood. But it's the situation in the province of Quebec is pretty dire. And there's a lot of cases every day, new cases for sure. Feel very, you know, grateful for a kind of efficient healthcare system where, like, you can get tested for free and get results within 24 hours. And I think that's really good. But, yeah, I mean, apart from that, I can't complain. I have a good situation. I have roommates who I love and get along with. And so I'm not too isolated, and that's really nice.
No, that's great. Yeah. No, the U.S. is just a total shit show right now. But hopefully that'll change.
It's bad.
We'll see.
Yeah.
Hopefully 2021 and the next 4 years will be a little better.
What a crazy time.
Our goal in the United States right now is to reach the point someday where the Canadians and the Europeans will let us into their countries. Because right now we're banned. We're going to be banned for a while until we get this thing under control.
Absolutely, it is. It's true that it's like, oh boy.
It is funny. It's really funny. But so I think everybody, Jeremiah and Will have said it as well, that this album is really, really, like, it's also very personal. Like, I wanted to listen to Fruit Pit again and again, and it's such a beautiful song. Yeah,
thank you very much.
And it's something that I've been pushing my daughter to listen. She's finally listening to the stuff I listen to now, so it's we share music. But I'm just
sad that
these she listens to songs, not to albums, and it's
yeah
so
that's
difficult.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's so difficult to try and make her understand. No, listen to the whole thing. It'll make sense if you listen to the whole thing. But yeah, so you got any ideas on how I can push that through to her?
That's a really good question. Like, how old is she?
17.
17, yeah. That's the thing. It's crazy. I'm 28, so 10 years older, and I have a very, like, big attachment to albums. But I'm also, like, those 10 years are quite, like, you know, technology and music consumption changed so much in those 10 years that, like, I also kind of am, I feel a bit like something's escaping me in the way that people have of listening to music. And I understand, like, everything is algorithmic now and you listen to playlists instead of records and everything. But I think, you know, for me, at least, if I can talk for myself, I think that, like, a record has the space and time to tell a story that a song can't. And that's why. And there's so much thought put into, you know, the track list and the order, obviously, and like the way that the whole thing comes together. I think there's definitely an added value to the whole, rather than like it's not just a sum of its parts, you know.
Yeah, no, I'm definitely going to use that. Yes, just listen to the whole; it's a story.
We're old timers, so we're hanging on to the album format. We're hoping it lasts a little longer.
Well, yeah, me too. To be honest, like there's nothing better. It's just so nice to have like a long format of music, you know.
True.
Mm-hmm.
So what's the future like? Are you going to keep promoting this online until, or are you going to come up with
some new music? It's a good question. Yeah, I'm definitely starting to think about new music already. That's what's kind of, I think, unique about this release or releasing stuff in this context, is that I don't know how to keep promoting it, honestly. You know, like I'm kind of like, wow, this is maybe the end of that campaign, kind of, which is totally fair enough because the music's there and that's what counts. And I'm excited to get working on something else, but for sure, like, I really do, you know, like, dream about what a tour would have been like, but it's all good. It's not, you know, it's really not the end of the world. But I'm excited to get working on other stuff for sure.
Cool.
Yeah, well, we're looking forward to it. And also, you know, I was thinking the other day that I'm sure, like, after the whole COVID thing, that bands and, you know, listeners are going to be so excited for live music. The first few months of shows are going to be incredible because everyone's going to be so kind of pent up and excited. So hopefully we can do that in a safe way within. Yeah, exactly. Just really. So I think you could definitely pull off a tour, even if it was late next summer with this album. It seems
that's cool. Yeah, I think so too. Hopefully maybe like outdoor festivals at least or something. Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah. We'll see. But yeah, you're right. I think like even just like, you know, spending time with people and like, you know, I don't know, like now that I haven't, you know, hugged anyone apart my roommates in like 6 months, like only even that kind of like minute like situation becomes really like special. So it's going to be a different world when we can be together again for sure. Yeah.
True.
Yeah, definitely. Looking forward to those days.
Yep.
Yeah, me too.
Well, I'm sure you've been like interviewed a ton of times, and you've had, you know, since the album came out, and just everyone's throwing questions at you, but is there anything that like you just want to say or anything that you haven't been asked or that you need to tell the world?
Well, that's a good question. I don't know. I guess I just feel really lucky to, like, COVID or not, you know, I just feel very lucky to be sharing, and I feel it feels very important from either end, you know, both receiving new music and releasing it has been super. Yeah, that too has felt so special, I think, and very like based on interpersonal kind of exchanges, which is beautiful. And I feel super lucky to be making music in these times.
Awesome.
Good. Well, we appreciate it. That's for sure. And everyone should go out there.
Thank
and
you.
Spend $20, $30 on every download. And on Bandcamp. Is that the best way for people to contribute? Is it better on your website or through Bandcamp?
Actually, my website links to my Bandcamp, so it all converges there.
Awesome. Yes. So people go spend some money on Bandcamp. Yep.
Yeah.
Keep the good tunes rolling.
Yep. And you've got the music and some cool merch too on Bandcamp, which is great.
Yeah.
That's one of the ways that I've found to try to support artists during this COVID pandemic is to buy some merch. So people do that.
It's a great way to support artists. Yeah.
Yeah, I've got a, I think I've got my altogether unaccompanied t-shirt on. So people need to go buy some of that stuff. Nice. Well, thank you so much. Oh my gosh. Should we play one more tune, or should we? Do we have time?
Yeah, we could play one. We could play a going out tune. Sure. What's a good one that we might have missed?
What do you guys think?
Probably a lot of them.
That depends. I think Anurag said that he really liked Fruit Pit. Maybe we can play that one. Number 4.
Yep. Let's do it.
Awesome.
I'd like to use it from time to time. If I lay down, I'm fine.
Yep, another great pick. That's Helena DeLand from Someone New, her first full-length album, and we endorse it.
Yay!
Yay, highly endorse it. Yep.
Yep.
So good. Thank you again for being on. We really appreciate it.
Thank you. Yep.
Thanks so much.
Okay, well, keep up the music and be safe, and hopefully we'll see you on the road next summer.
Absolutely. Yeah, you too. Thanks so much for doing this.
Of course. Yeah, thanks for being on. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
My pleasure. Have a great evening.
You too. Thanks.
You too. Take care. Cheers.
Helena DeLand, wasn't that fun?
Yeah, she's cool, huh? Yeah, it was really great.
Yeah, she's such an amazing personality. And the songs are so, so personal. I did not want to bring it up at all. The lyrics. Oh, my God.
Yeah, that can be kind of crushing, you know, in like a very soft way, softly crush you. Yeah, that's good.
But so she sounded like she's doing pretty well and getting through the whole COVID thing as well as you could expect. So, we keep saying this. We repeat it so many times, but hoping we can get back to the prior world where bands could tour and to be sort of the whole music thing, right? It sort of relies somewhat on community and, you know, people supporting people. And so a lot of that's missing right now. So it'll be really great to get it back.
Yeah, I wonder if it's going to be this.
Go ahead.
I don't think it's going to be the same, right? Because now it'll be like, did you see the pictures of that concert, the Flaming Lips concert everybody in their own bubble.
Right, right. Well, you know, they have that bubble thing.
It's going to be different now.
It's not going to just be like suddenly one moment everything is back to normal, right?
Exactly.
You know, hopefully when the scientists seem to be doing a pretty good job. There's been some good news on the vaccine front.
Oh,
so,
yeah. Oh, my God. That's just amazing news, huh?
So, we just heard from Helena DeLand, and we also talked to Couch Prince. Man, these guys are great, right? Let's play the interview, and then we'll talk a little more. So here's our discussion we had with Couch Prince. All right, we're here with Couch Prince today. Awesome.
Hey, hey.
Hello.
Why don't you guys introduce yourselves?
All right, I'm Jacob Shrek. Play guitar, producing the band. We're missing Jan Roberts, who's our singer. And we have
Brandon Tong. I play keys and produce and write some sappy lyrics from time to time.
That's great. Well, we were fortunate enough that Jeremiah, he's the one who introduced us to your band and also set up this interview. We've been doing this podcast for quite a long time now, and we've got a group of about 7 or 8 people kind of from all over. So today we've got Jeremiah, who's from Santa Fe. Anurag is in Kitchener, Ontario, and I'm in Madison, Wisconsin. So Jeremiah, you got this all set up, so why don't we turn it over to you to get the discussion going.
Yeah, well, thanks so much, you guys, for coming on. Really appreciate it, and love the new EP. I'm really excited about it, and it's so fun. Oh my God, some synthy fun, loving it. Yeah, and so you guys are you used to be from Denver, right? And now you're in New York. Is that correct? Or
correct? Yeah, Brandon and I grew up together in Denver and moved to New York. He moved here about 2 or 3 years ago. And now it's coming on 2 years now for me.
Awesome. Yeah, that's just right up the road from me. So we zip up there often. Yeah. Did you have any local bands in Denver that you liked or any that you like now? Or
We've been really into this band Midwife that's out of Denver.
Right.
But they're amazing. But
they're so good. Yeah.
Yeah.
We weren't too familiar back then. Before I moved here, I was living in a house with a bunch of musicians that were all in like various bands in like a more, I'd say, indie rock type of vibe. And so I really liked their music and I liked that scene a lot. But
we're unfortunately like not really in a scene in Denver.
Right, yeah.
Which, you know, because I guess maybe we'll get into that later, but this is sort of our like first, this is our first band. We're kind of new to all of that. I mean, we were big into like electronic music in high school and stuff like that. So that was kind of what introduced us to that world and like this world of like live music and stuff. But as far as like other pop bands or indie bands go, it was, we'd like to have been more involved.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like you found a new good home for your career. And so we're excited about that. And yeah, we love Midwife as well on the podcast. So.
Yeah,
the last album was really great. Yeah,
amazing. Yeah,
yeah, totally. So you guys are doing good with the pandemic, or is it being like creative, or is it you're frustrated you can't play shows? What's happening?
Both. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, all of the above. But yeah, actually, it's been there was that period where you just didn't have a job and no one had a job and a lot of people left the city, which is normally like uber cramped. So you had like a whole apartment to yourself to like write and do stuff and make music. So quarantine was actually pretty productive in that front. And now we're just honing in a lot of those ideas we had over that period.
Trying to write the debut LP. So getting a bunch of that done, we were feeling very inspired.
Yeah. So when is that coming out?
We'd like to. It's such a long, frustrating process, you know, as I'm sure you guys know. Even most of the songs on the EP, some of them were written like 3-4 years ago. The most recent being written like at the end of 2019. The LP, we'd like to get it out as soon as possible, but it's also kind of this balancing act of, you know, it's frustrating because it's like, oh, we're very inspired by the music we're making right now. We think it's the best stuff we've made so far and we want to share it with everyone. But then it's like, oh, do we need to wait to release it so we can tour when we release it? And, you know, now that the record label's involved, that, you know, that changes things as well. And hopefully we get to work with the bigger producer this time, and a lot of moving parts, but we are very excited about everything that we've written so far.
Yeah. Well, we love what we've heard so far, and it's great. You guys, yeah, you just got signed up with Numinel, right?
Correct. Yeah.
Awesome. Yep. Yeah. Chris and the clan over there does a great job, and love so much of what's on that label. So, and actually we're going to have Helena Deland on later. So that'll be fun.
Amazing.
Wow. Bandmates, you're your label mates. So
yeah.
Later.
Yeah.
Today.
Oh, that's so cool. We've actually never got to speak to her. But
yeah.
We're huge fans of her new record.
Isn't it? It's amazing.
It's wonderful.
Amazing. Yeah. Yeah. Like so it. It's very cool to be label mates with her.
Yeah. And it's exciting.
Maybe we'll
some
be able to tour together
sometime.
There.
Right? I know. Yeah, same yeah. day. Oh my
just,
goodness.
Don't tell
summer,
her we said that.
Hopefully, next summer, no.
Maybe just sneak it on. So, yeah, exactly. you might be a good fit for a tour with this band.
Right? Exactly. That would be perfect. Like, a little warm up and opening support group.
Yeah.
Nice.
Exactly.
So, you created some of these songs 2-3 years ago, but the lyrics are very apt for what we're going through right now. So was that just a coincidence, or did you just create the lyrics now? How does that work?
I don't know. I think maybe it's just a function of being generally feeling lonely and isolated, honestly, you know? Yeah, it's kind of, for me, writing and lyric writing especially has always kind of come from a place of just like interpersonal relationships. And I often won't start a song with like an idea in mind. It's just kind of like, I'll just start singing and writing and see what comes out. And a lot of times it's sort of these introspective moments or interactions with people. So yeah, I don't know why
cool.
it ended up like that.
Yeah, very introspective. Yep. Sorry, go ahead.
About our music. I was just going to chime in and just say quickly that I feel like that's just, yeah, that's a plus, I think. Not that it seems to be related to the pandemic, but just that they're kind of these songs that you can sort of like copy and paste onto like different things that are going on through your life, and it sort of makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Why don't we play some music to put this all into context? Do you guys have a track you'd like us to feature? It's a 6-song EP, about 20 minutes long.
I say Faces.
Let's play that one, Faces. It's track 6. Couch Prince, our guests today from the Tell You EP. Great to have you guys on. So I wanted to ask you one thing before I forget, and that is we talk a lot about on this podcast because so many of the bands that we listen to are based in Brooklyn and New York. And so we kind of have this running joke about moving to Brooklyn for indie rock stardom. But I wonder what it's like to actually do that. On one hand, it seems like it's totally the hotbed for so much music. So like if you want to be in a scene, it's a good place to be. But then it also seems like it could go the other way because the, you know, just like oversaturation almost, right? Like, how do you guys feel about that?
Yeah, it's funny that you say that because we always used to make the same joke. Like, as an outsider looking in, it's like, wow, there's so much happening in Brooklyn right now. And then, and the funny thing too is like, kind of once you get here, it sort of it loses its mystique a tiny bit, but it very much is like that too. Like, there's artists now who we'll like run into, or like, you know, we were big fans of True Blue. If you guys know who that is, she's the bassist in the band Porches, and then she has her own musical project. And so, you know, we've briefly connected with her and are hoping to connect with her more going forward. But yeah, I mean, I think it was especially difficult for us maybe because we got here and we're sort of like wanting to get into that, and then COVID happened. But I think that definitely the oversaturation is not an issue. I think really it's a really good place to come to, and it is very easy to get involved in those scenes. And I think it is like a really good place to live off of that and to like feed off of one another. So, yeah, it's definitely there.
That's great. Right? And do you feel like that, like there's not a whole lot of like, there's like a lot of camaraderie ship and not as much like competition? Cause it seemed like when I was growing up, like you'd hear about bands always kind of like not liking each other and like the whole like ego thing getting involved. But it seems like that's what's inspiring about, you know, the younger people. These days is there seem to be much more collaborative thinking instead of competitive, you know?
I definitely think it's more collaborative. And I think obviously social media has changed everything. And so that it's almost, me and Brandon talk about this a lot, but it almost feels like sort of social media was like the death of like the music scene, because now you find these like scenes on the internet where you see people like Cowgirl Clue, who makes similar music to like Coco and Claire, and then like they're doing like this thing, but like, you know, it's LA versus New York, but that to me feels like sort of a scene in and of itself. And then I would say it's more global, you know, than it is just in New York. So I think, but because of that, I feel like it does create a lot more camaraderie here, because it's like, okay, maybe we're not in the same musical scene, but we are running a similar social circle. Like, you know, I know those people are friends with our friends as well, and we've met them before. And so I think it does create, yeah, it's a lot more camaraderie and a lot more friendship. And I think people are more inclined to help one another rather than try and maybe like it used to be like competition where you're trying to like be better. I mean, you're always trying to push yourself, but I definitely think that with social media, it's like when you do happen to end up being in the same place, it creates a sense of family, maybe is a strong word, but friendship.
That's great.
Yeah. Maybe to tack onto that, and this is an untested theory of mine, but like, you know, the way the indie scene has become sort of like marginalized, it feels like, I don't know, for me to imagine trying to compete with other bands, it's like I'm already kind of scraping by to just have my own thing. So I would never want to like cut the legs out of someone else. So I wonder if there's some sense of like, you know, especially in the indie scene right now, it's on the ropes in some ways, so everyone sticks together a lot more than maybe in the past, where there was like a more normal path to mainstream success and getting paid.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, we all need to promote yes. indie music and promote bands and promote each other, and folks go out to Bandcamp and buy their new EP, please. $100 download.
Pay what you will.
But yeah, I mean, I think that question also completely circles back to what we were talking about earlier, which is the music scene in Denver. It's still just like, this all still feels very fresh to us because this is our first music project. And I think it felt right, like right before quarantine happened, that we were just kind of starting to break into this thing in New York. And we're hoping that momentum is still there. But I think, once COVID's over, we're just like hoping. I know we've done some interviews in the past where they've asked like, what are you hoping for moving forward? And it's mostly just like, hoping that that scene is still thriving when this is all done, just so we can, you know, be a part of it.
Yeah, that's great. Wow. And it sounds like you were talking about you're working on your new LP, and it seems like it's a pretty collaborative process, kind of a dynamic collaborative process between the three of you, or is one person kind of more the songwriter and the other person kind of writes more of the music, or how does your creative process go?
I mean, it boils down to, like, Brandon or I will write an instrumental, and then we'll sort of, you know, I'll start it, or he'll start it, and we'll send it back and forth. And then Brandon will write the vocals. And then after that, we'll go into the studio, all three of us together. And then we'll sort of all three of us work on the song and kind of, you know, decide which parts we like, which parts we don't like, adding stuff here and there. And then we'll record it with Jana. But prior to getting in the studio, it is still very collaborative too with Jana as well. And, you know, we all have, we wanted to create a very, like, democratic process so that all of us have equal voice, and it's, you know, we can all voice our opinions and say what we think's best for the music. And so I think that's also a reason that it takes us so long to put out our music, but we wouldn't have it any other way.
Yeah, that's interesting how your Brandon's writing lyrics for Jana. So that's must be interesting. And her voice is so amazing too. I mean, even in that last, I mean, all of them, but, you know, in Faces, that, you know, it's just like her voice is just so smooth and kind of bouncing, you know, bumping along above Brandon's synths. it's really nice.
Yeah, her voice is wonderful. And I think, like, you know, at least for me, there's like just this sort of like, you know, oftentimes she'll sing something I've written, but, like, because we're all recording together, you know, little hiccups and changes and like edits to the lyrics and melodies will happen on the fly. And I feel like it's been so nice to have sort of that safety net behind the ideas of, like, you know, I know Jake and I have been, like, longtime best friends and a good amount of time as collaborators. So we, like, really fill the voids that the other has really well.
Yeah. Like, a good example of what Brandon was just saying as well is, like, when we, I don't know how much of our story you guys know, but, like, Tell You was the first song we ever recorded together 2 years ago in this warehouse in Greenpoint. And I remember when we got together with Jana, we were sort of thinking, like, we're going to do something together, but it wasn't necessarily going to be this music that Brandon and I were working on. And she heard sort of the first demo of Tell You, and we re-recorded it. And that was sort of the moment that we were like, wow, this sounds so special. It sounds unique. But there's a line, it's the first line after the first chorus, and Jana, like, totally changed it. And I remember when we were recording it, I was so frustrated. I was like, come on, like, that's not how it goes. But then I was like, whatever, we've been recording all day. Like, I'm just going to let it. I'm just like, maybe we'll re-record it down the line. And then we never did. So those are, like, the vocals that we used on the track that were in this shitty ass rehearsal space in Greenpoint, where we were literally, like, recording in between metal bands rehearsing in the studio next to us. And then, but now that's my favorite part of the song. I'm like, that little bit is so beautiful, and I wouldn't have had it any other way. So there's a lot of, like, moments like that happen, which is nice when you're working in such, like, a collaborative environment like we are.
That makes me, reminds me of a long time ago when I was practicing with my band in a warehouse setup, you know, with a whole bunch of spaces. And there was this band right next to us playing Black Sabbath, cranked completely. There would be no way you could record something in the space next door. So there's probably got to be some accommodation for that, right?
That was exactly how it was. And they were like, whoever this band was, they ripped. They were so good. And we would just sit there. I was just like, damn, they're fucking sick. Like, that it was so heavy. It was just, well, no, it was just like, it was a bassist.
Doom
and
metal.
A drummer. Yeah, so it was like doom metal. It was just a bassist and a drummer, and he must have had, like, this crazy distortion on his bass, and it was just like, boom, it would, like, shake our studio. But they were so good. I mean, we'd go, like, hang out outside and talk with him, and he was so funny.
That's great. Well, I think you gave us a good lead in for the next track. I think we should play Tell You.
Yep.
So
amazing.
Here it is.
Thank you.
Couch Prince, the title track from the Tell You EP. Now I've got another question. Do you guys use electronic drums, real drums, or a combination?
Generally, we use electronic drums. The drums in that song were electronic as well. But the hi-hats were, we actually recorded, as well as shaker, crash, stuff like that. But that was, with Tell You, we had, you know, like I said, we recorded everything in that studio. And then we brought that song to a producer named Billy Pavone, who we originally were just going to have mix, but then we were like, okay, maybe we should have him do some additional production. So we went to his studio in Gowanus, and he's done, like, he worked with St. Lucia, Wet, some other bands like that, Mating Ritual,
Barry.
Yeah, he did Barry.
Oh, nice one.
And he before there were a lot more electronic drums. And I remember after we heard the more like analog live sounding drums, we were like, damn, that sounds really cool.
That's great.
Yeah, that's so fun. That was a great one. Great video on for Tell You as well. Super fun, yeah.
Thank you.
Looks like you had fun making that video.
Yeah. It was a cool house to visit.
Mm-hmm. That was a fun day.
I like the fact that I'm 50 years old, and my neighbors and all ask me, what do you see in this new music? And then I point to lyrics like this, that this is what I see. This is really good stuff, guys. Awesome. Mm-hmm.
Thanks
so much. Yeah. Really appreciate it.
We call ourselves aging rockers, and you know, we're living proof that you can still be interested in new music even as you get older.
So. Exactly.
Yeah. No, amazing. I did a deep dive on your guys' podcast when we first set this up, and I was like, oh, they have got some interesting things to say. So we're really happy to be here. Yeah.
Oh, nice. That's so great. Hopefully we're, and just also send us new, send us stuff, you know, or recommendations or things that you might think that we would like, or you think should be, you know, listened to more or promoted more. So we're always about finding new stuff. And so it's fun to, you know, sometimes we'll go back and, you know, do a kind of from the vault or some band that's more well known or something. But you know, what I really love about it is meeting new people and discovering new music. And that's why sometimes it's even hard to do the like 10, you know, top 10 of the year. Cause I'm just like so interested in listening to whatever just came out last Friday.
I'm yeah.
Like, oh, right. Yeah. Like, I yeah. Yeah. So thank you so much. Oh my gosh. Is there anything else? What, you know, you've probably been in a lot of interviews lately, and is there something that you haven't been asked before, or you want to tell anyone out there? Or?
Tell us your deepest, darkest secrets.
But then I'd have to kill you.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Man, what haven't we been asked? What do we want to talk about?
I don't know. Yeah, I mean, if you, like I said, we've got time. So if you guys have any other questions, like, shoot them our way. I mean, we love talking. So, especially about music. I don't think there's anything that we have been asked that. There's nothing that's not been asked so far.
So, well, we've got definitely time to play another track. So,
yes.
How about one more track to feature from the EP?
Should we do Lost Me?
All right, let's do it. Number 4, Lost Me.
All right.
I'm slow and heavy in your eyes and open head and
Couch Prince, the new EP is Tell You, and we're all looking forward to the full-length album whenever it comes out.
5 years from now.
Right.
Hopefully sooner
Don't
than
say that.
That.
We're going to do a Salem.
Yeah.
We'll say. Right. Pull a Salem. nice. Hopefully we can see you guys live next summer. We'll see how.
Yes.
See how
that'd be amazing.
The craziness. Huh?
We're trying to hit all your cities.
Yeah.
And we have someone in the UK, and then we have someone in Australia too. But so it'll really have to be a world tour.
Yeah. Come to Kitchener, Ontario for sure.
Yeah.
I need this. Very small town.
Well, maybe we'll make it to
just for you. Well,
somewhere in Canada. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anurag can get to Toronto. That's not that hard. So,
yes.
All right, we can do that.
We definitely have people requesting Toronto, so we'll it's on the list for sure.
And have I really want to go there. Have you ever been to Toronto?
I have never been to Toronto. Well, I think, is Toronto where the other half of the Niagara Falls is?
No.
Is that somewhere else?
That's Niagara Falls. That's a city.
Yeah, that's Niagara
town
Falls.
Called Niagara Falls.
But what's the city that's close to it, the bigger city?
Hamilton.
Okay, I've been there.
Is Hamilton the closest? God, I didn't even have...
Hamilton's the closest big city.
Okay, yeah. No, Toronto's an incredible city, and the music scene is great, and Toronto's just awesome. I endorse Toronto. I mean, Anurag lived... You didn't live in the city, right? You worked in the city and lived just outside of there. Yeah. Yeah. Now you're a couple
a
hours away.
From Toronto. Actually, what's his name, Brian?
My friend Anthony Tony Price, he runs that label Maximum Exposure. He was actually living with us for a bit. But we met all his friends, Ben Cook
Young Gov
and all them. Seems like such a fun little scene up there.
Mm-hmm.
Right, yeah, there's some good stuff coming out of there.
A lot of good music coming out of Canada.
Definitely, yeah.
Men I Trust, they're from Montreal.
Right, Helena DeLon.
Yep.
From Montreal, Love Men I Trust. We're trying to get them on at some point, we'll see. They're really great. And gosh, anyway, a lot to talk about with that, definitely. But it seemed like with this last EP was like, was it more like different songs kind of came to existence or... I mean, before it was really put together, or was there kind of like a, you know, specific inspiration for all of them over, you know, are they kind of like each their own little animal or unit, and then they kind of were put together as an EP, or was there more of kind of a concept with the, not that it's a concept EP, but like a, you know what I mean? Like if it's, now you're like working on an album, so that's like you're probably more of the songs are coming together as they kind of relate to each other maybe as well.
Brandon?
Yeah, totally. I mean, I think like the sort of conceptual notion behind it came a little bit later, but when we first started making like the songs, including Tell You and the first version of Moto X, we had like this idea of this sort of character who had moved to like the American West and was like on the lam essentially and was like hiding out and his sort of like adventures, meeting people and like falling in love. So that's Moto X is like the most direct reference to that, where it's like, it looks so different from the magazines I read, artificial lights. But we ended up scrapping most of that and just keeping Tell You and then completely remixing Moto X. And then the songs, you know, everything else was written in those like two periods. And during that, Jake moved to New York. I moved to New York. Jana moved back. Jake had visited for a month. Like my whole trajectory of my life like drastically changed, and I think theirs did as well. A lot of it through Couch Prince. So it just kind of became like a lot of the songs were just these sort of like they felt like diary entries or like journal entries of these moments that were happening in our lives and probably like the most like you know formative adult years. And so after we had everything written and we just like we're seeing this theme arise kind of like what you said with the, you know, the lyrics are sort of fitting for quarantine, but that was kind of the feeling that I think I was going through for sure. And I think Jake and Jana were as well, like this sort of isolation, like being in a new city, like trying to find your way, trying to figure stuff out and like trying to figure out who you are. And so that just kind of became the like theme behind the whole EP of like, these are moments that like we couldn't really like place, and music had been the only sort of way to like describe them. And I don't know, it just sort of worked as like this it seems kind of like a cop out, but like just like this journal of the last 2 years since the group started, and all our little intimate moments. Mm-hmm.
And I think as well, like having Brandon and I having known each other for so long, there's certainly like there's themes and threads that have, you know, been woven into like our relationship and sort of the things, our ethos and stuff like that. And I think a lot of the writing and a lot of sort of what we wanted to do with the EP was sort of get that ingrained into there and share it with people. So that was like the concept of the album art actually is this idea of like a postcard that's like it's a frame, and then we're sort of stamping like our experiences on top of that. And I think that was exactly what we were doing with the EP as well, of just like trying to, like exactly like Grant said, is just share this with everyone. So it wasn't a concept EP at all, but I think once all the songs were there, we sort of said like, oh wow, this actually sort of does exactly what we were kind of thinking day to day. You know, and when you're going day to day, it's hard to step back and see everything as a whole. But then when it was done, it really worked. And so we were happy about that, and happy that it came together and became this thing. And it does feel like the period on the end of this chapter of our lives. So it feels especially special to be able to share that, and for us to have it too.
Yeah, and I think another... Oh, sorry.
No, go ahead. I was just going to say thanks for sharing that journey with us in the last... Yeah, it's been fun. All encapsulated into this nice little package for us. So. Go ahead.
Yeah. We spent a lot of time too, just like with the order of the songs, which I'm sure every band does, but it was like because Tell You was sort of the first song written, and Faces, Lost Me, and Moto X was like half written, but we're like all kind of completed around the same time. So it was sort of like Tell You and Of Drawing represented the sound that we had initially been sort of like going for when we were first inspired to start this project back in 2017. And then the more like what we think of like darker sound of like Faces and Moto X and Lost Me is more of like the influences and the things that we started becoming turned on to once we moved to New York. So there is sort of also that tie in of the like the order of the songs as well.
Mm-hmm. And Moto X really was like the scene that connects the two, we thought, especially because we had written it before and then we remixed it later. So it felt right to be like right in the middle, separating Of Drawing Tell You with Faces, Hold, and Lost Me.
Yeah. I love Moto X. That's a great one too.
Yeah. That's a good song.
It's nice. Yeah.
Well,
it's
everybody should
listen part. And then it has such fat kind of synthy bass lines. It's really fun.
Everyone should check this out. Couch Prints on Bandcamp. Bandcamp's always the best, right? Everybody can go to the streaming services and download or listen, but Bandcamp is really the way to go. You get all the information about the band. You can give them a little bit of money, maybe buy some merch.
A lot of money.
Follow them. You know, that one thing I've been using a lot more lately is on Bandcamp, you know, you can follow the artist and get notices whenever a new thing comes out.
Yep.
So for some reason, my Bandcamp account, I get whenever my son downloads anything, I get all these emails from bands that I'm like, why did I get that? I never heard of that band. So it's something that he bought or something on a label that he bought.
Are you turning your son onto all the same music that you're listening to and talking about on the show?
Well, we're kind of past that because he's 23 now. Yeah. When he was, you know, younger, of course, I think I was more of an influence on him. The funniest thing he ever told me was that when he was in high school, he had a friend who said to him, I don't know where they came up with this, he said, you seem like a kid whose dad would have listened to New Order. Where did they get that? And they were right.
That's great.
So anyway, that's funny.
And it's true, right?
Yeah, he was correct, you know. So, thanks a lot, you guys. I sometimes question our ability to pull off interviews because we really haven't traditionally been an interview show. But you guys made it pretty easy. We didn't have to really do anything because you guys have great, really great insights and just, that's what I like to get out of an interview is, you know, just the depth that's underneath all this music is just, it's great. So thanks.
Thank you guys.
Yeah, thank you guys are awesome. For having us.
Yeah.
Thanks so much. Can't wait to see you guys live and if you ever, once things start happening, we should try to get you set up in all of our different cities for up with some shows or something. We're trying to do like a Luminel like showcase here in town or something. We've been talking with Chris and some of those people, and before it was right before COVID, and it was like, oh well, okay, put that on hold for a year, you know, see what happens. But well, thank you so much.
Please. We would love to.
Yeah, that'd be amazing. Yeah, stay in touch as well.
Absolutely. Nice. Yeah, keep up the good work, and everybody go out there and shell out some cash on Bandcamp, please, and support great, good, new music. Thanks, you guys.
All right.
Thank you.
Talk to you guys later.
Cheers. Thanks, Brandon.
Couch Prints, pretty cool, right?
They're so sensitive. My goodness. So young and so sensitive.
Just so thoughtful. You know,
Very thoughtful.
It made me think you can listen to their music on a kind of a superficial level and just, you know, hey, there's some synth pop, you know, and the more you listen to it, and then especially when you talk to them, there's so much depth underneath it. That was great.
Yeah, they're really, so talented, and just like how, you know, Brandon writes the lyrics and then Jayana actually sings them. And so it's this huge, like, collaborative thing where you would think that, like, okay, if you're writing the lyrics, you really would be more attached to it, but they're just so collaborative and so kind of just, you know, have this shared creation, you know, creative experience. And so really great guys, and seemed
I hope
very...
they release their album soon and not in 5 years.
right.
Really looking forward to that.
Well, they have some, hopefully they'll have some time with COVID. That's, I guess, maybe one thing is people can really dive into their creative processes, maybe.
I think
more
Brandon mentioned that. Yep.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot of bedroom songwriting going on right now that's going to escape the bedroom into a studio somewhere at some point.
Right. Hopefully.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, we have a common theme of trying to give people their $0 worth for our free podcast. And I think just one of those interviews would be worth more than $0. Don't you think?
Absolutely. Yep.
Definitely. I think we're
good hitting. Job, Jeremiah. That was good stuff.
Yes. And thank you, Jeremiah, for setting these up. And, We had a third band kind of as backup in case we needed another thing to talk about, but I think we've babbled on long enough, and that's just us. I characterize our own talking as babbling, but the band members, they weren't babbling. They were saying cool things.
Yeah.
Definitely. Yeah. It's so insightful. It's very, very nice to just get their perspective on things. So I really appreciate that. And people go out there and buy their music on Bandcamp. Bandcamp.
I've already done that for both of them.
Nice. Well done. Good example, Anurag.
Yep. All right. Well, I think maybe we can sign off for the week. And we'll...
I think so.
We're still in the planning stages for next week's podcast. All that behind-the-scenes stuff, man. It's intense stuff. You know, everybody clamoring to get on the podcast and negotiations back and forth. Exactly. All the lawyers talking to each other.
Different connections. Different recording styles or programs.
Right.
Yeah. It's lots of juggling.
Yep. Well, we'll have probably something. So we'll talk to everybody again next week. Thanks again, you guys. And we'll talk to everybody next week with another edition of Will's Band of the Week. Good night.
Good night.
Good night, everybody.
The Will's Band of the Week podcast is brought to you each week from Fourth Bedroom Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, with correspondents from the United States, Canada, England, and Australia. You can subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or anywhere else podcasts are found. All of our episodes can be found at willsband.net. To contact us, send email to willsband@yahoo.com or find us on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram. Our theme music was composed by Grant and performed by Grant and Will. Thanks for listening.